Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us as we start the new year off strong here in the middle of January. We know a lot of you won't be going to the usual traditional conferences in the first quarter. There'll be virtual events. You'll be hanging around your home office in all likelihood. Feel free to take some time and listen to the podcast, listen to the various webinar options that are out there. We have one coming up that you can listen to on replay, our marketing webinar in January, trying to lay the outlook for 2021 that you could get into. That would be very much worth your time. If not, we definitely appreciate you taking the time to join us as part of the podcast every week here on the State of Freight Rail Market Update. As we go through the numbers and try to give you a sense of where things are in the rail markets. So to start off the year, last week I said that it would take us another week of data, the first full week of the year's data, to understand really where we were. And we've gotten some clarity there. Intermodal volumes have come into January above their seasonal expectations, and a lot of that is due to containers. Container movements are running above their seasonal expectations. Now, they're not back to where they were before Christmas. They're not back to where they were before Thanksgiving, but they are performing better than you would expect for this time of year. And we'll talk about the drivers of that. We'll talk about how long that might last as we go through here. On the carload markets have returned to where they were before the Christmas holidays pretty quickly, but there is no sign that's going to go higher. We don't have direction yet on where the market is headed. Is it going up? Is it going down? Is it going to stay where it is? And you'll see as we talk about the carload segments, there are segments that are doing particularly well, and there are segments that are not doing quite so well. And we'll talk about the drivers there. We'll talk about what all goes into it. And we will try to give you a sense of where we think things are going depending on the sector that you're in. But to kick off, let's jump down into intermodal. Let's talk about the overall intermodal market. And you can see here, normally in January, you get a pretty steep decline in volumes if you look at the five-year average number. However, we've pretty well leveled off up and above 330,000 carloads a week. That is significant. That's 25,000 carloads a week or so above where the five-year average says we would be this time of year. Now, we're not back to the 370,000 level we were running at before Christmas. We're not at the 390,000 level that we were before Thanksgiving, but we're still at healthy levels for this time of year. And a lot of that is really about the container space. As we go through trailers and containers, you'll see that for trailers, we've just sort of followed our five-year average pattern into the early part of the year, but containers have held up very, very well. One of the reasons for that is you've got a lot of goods and imports still coming into ports. If you look at import volumes, they are strong across the board. No matter what port complex you look at, they're very good numbers. And they're particularly strong on the West Coast. If you look at Southern California, if you look at Western Canada, you know, you've got volumes up 25, 27, 30% year over year in November. You know, and those are expected to continue through the holiday period and into the start of the new year. And so it's very clear that container volume is healthy. Consumer demand is healthy. And we'll have to see. We are hearing that the shipping lines and the factories in China are not going to take the typical Lunar New Year holiday this year as China tries to, contain the COVID-19 outbreak in their country, tries to limit the movement and mingling of people during that period, keeping them closer to their places of residence, their places of employment. And that will allow factories to continue to run during the Lunar New Year period. And we expect to see a normal shipping cadence out of China over that time. What that means is that the U.S. ports that have congestion issues right now, that have ships waiting off of their docks, that situation is not going to get any better anytime soon. You're not going to have the Lunar New Year to sort of reset, to sort of recalibrate expectations. You're going to continue to go and continue to run all the way through. And so long as U.S. consumer demand keeps up, that is okay. That is, you know, fulfilling demand. That is meeting customer needs. The ports and the intermodal sector will have to establish how to break that bottleneck in the not-too-distant future. But overall, the demand to support it is there. The demand is in the system. And with additional stimulus now appears likely with the Biden administration having control of both houses of Congress, it appears that you will see larger stimulus going out to individuals. That will help to stimulate demand. That will help to keep the imports flowing as we go forward here. That will help to keep intermodal loadings, and particularly container loadings, moving very, very well. Trailer loadings through the first part of the year have basically parroted their five-year average. We have seen the large peak between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and now it's come down, but it's not come down overly dramatically. It's not come down at a pace quicker than you would normally expect to see seasonally. It has just sort of held to what you would expect for this time of year. It's still up double digits compared to the year prior. Overall, trailers are in a healthy space, and if that consumer demand continues, if you continue to see working from home, shopping from home, e-commerce demand, you're going to have parcel demand. You're going to have people, looking for additional ways to get capacity, and the trailer market could stay higher than we now expect, but we want to get a little bit more clarity on where things are going on the e-commerce space, where things are going on the demand space before we make that call definitively. But it's certainly a possibility. If you game out what it could look like in 2021, you have to account for the possibility, at least, that trailers could outperform this year if you see ongoing consumer demand, ongoing parcel demand, and e-commerce demand through the balance of the year. Talked about containers. They are well above their five-year average. They are above their five-year average by about 25, 30,000 carloads a week. You know, you are seeing the containers are what are powering the overall intermodal numbers, and that's because of, you know, the demand. That's because of all of the goods trying to get through the ports, trying to be off the ports and trying to be on the ports and trying to get things through the system as much as humanly possible here in the first weeks of the year. And Lunar New Year, as we talked about, is not going to be a point where the ports are going to be able to catch up the way they might be able to in a more normal year. And we'll just have to watch how bad the congestion gets at some places. We've already seen folks, by virtue of how the volumes have increased in places like Western Canada and the Pacific Northwest, looking for alternatives to Southern California. And it may be that Southern California becomes so gridlocked and so bottlenecked that folks have to look at Gulf ports, have to look at East Coast ports. But even though those facilities have their own capacity limitations as we think about what their ability to handle additional freight is, as a rising tide lifts all boats and all of the ports deal with some level of congestion, some level of significant growth in volumes. Service is hanging in there pretty well. You know, we are a little bit below the 10-year average, but we're in most carriers, but we're essentially right in line with it. We're not deviating dramatically, and so there really isn't a service crisis on the horizon, I would say. Now, that can change on a dime. That can change very quickly, but ultimately, right now, we don't see there being a huge issue as it relates to service on the railroads. Shifting gears to the carload markets, the carload markets have bounced back pretty quickly. They have gotten back. This is a four-week average number, so it doesn't show the same level of volatility that you would see in the week-to-week numbers. But if I showed you a week-to-week number, you would see the dramatic drop-off for Christmas and New Year's and then coming right back to essentially the same level it was at before the holiday period. So pretty flat, but not moving up, not really changing the trajectory at all. On a four-week average basis, like you see here, it's really just parroting its typical seasonal pattern. It's still below where we would expect it to be on a five-year average basis, but it's not declining from where we would expect. It's not showing a decline when we would expect to see flat. It's not deviating from the typical seasonal expectation. We're still down a little bit year over year. That's not entirely unexpected. That's essentially in line with what was forecast in the fourth quarter to happen early in the year, and we'll just have to see as we go forward when the consumer demand, when the exuberance out there flows its way over into the carload markets. If we look at economically sensitive freight, and this for those of you who are not FTR clients or are not familiar with the term economically sensitive freight, what we mean is that means we pull out the coal, we pull out the agriculture, we pull out the petroleum, and we look at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. And you can see it's a very similar picture to what we saw in the overall carload space. We're essentially following our seasonal pattern. We're a little bit below where we would expect to be, but we've been below where we would expect to be really since the pandemic. And we're closing that gap. We're essentially holding that gap fairly close together. We had closed it down right before the holiday, and now we're just sort of keeping that delta. And we'll have to see as we start the year where it goes. We expect it to hold firm, to essentially follow its seasonal pattern, but we'll have to wait and see what that looks like. Shifting to the bulk goods, this is where you start to see some deviation. This is where you start to see winners and losers, if you will, among the carload sectors. And coal definitely is a loser. You normally would see it a start of the year uptick. We have not seen it. It is flat to lower, and we're back down below 65,000 carloads a week. We had gotten above that back before the holiday as natural gas prices increased to nearly $4 per MMBTU as part of its seasonal going into winter demand response and price response to that as we get additional home heating demand for natural gas. But we've already seen that price increase from last month reverse, and with it, coal is at a much worse competitive position, and volumes have responded in kind. We'll have to see where coal goes this year, but we don't expect it to make a run of the five-year average. We don't expect it to really move much from where it is. A best-case scenario is really sort of hanging out right in that 65,000 carload a week range, but there is certainly possibility that it could be significantly weaker than that as we go forward in time. The grain markets. Grain markets have been, you've heard me say it for weeks and months now, a bright spot in the carload space, and they continue to be so. Normally, you would expect to see things really slow down to start the year, and we haven't seen it. We've seen things essentially level out at a very strong level, about 8,000 carloads a week above where we would expect to be seasonally for this time of year, up about 30% compared to where we were just a year ago. Grain continues to be a bright spot, and we expect it to continue to be a bright spot for the first half of the year. And then you get more questions in the back half as we get to, as we get into the comparisons with last year and what that means. How able is grain to deal with significant comparison? Whether it's going to continue to grow or whether it's going to shave those year-over-year growth rates as we go through the year. Chemicals traffic. Normally, you'd expect to see a slowing, a flattening of decline this time of year. Not only have we not seen a flattening of decline, we've actually seen a bump up to start the year. The chemicals business has bounced back strong to start the year. We're several thousand carloads a week above our five-year average at this point, and we're positive compared to the year-over-year basis. But really, the most important thing about the chemical space and its strength is that it's not powered by the petroleum sector. If you look at petroleum products, it's really just following its seasonal pattern. There isn't the same momentum there that you see in the overall chemical space. So what does that mean for us? That means that the chemical strength is really in plastic resins, it's in natural gas liquids, it's in base chemicals, it's in things that are not tied to petroleum products. And that's a great thing. That says that there is strength and demand for those base chemicals that go into a whole host of manufacturing processes in the underlying economy. It says the underlying economy is strong, despite all of the pandemic resurgences, despite all of the lockdowns in other countries around the world. The underlying economy remains strong based on that chemicals number, and that's a great thing to see to start the year. It suggests that 2021 is going to be better than 2020. However, there are some sectors that are going to continue to be weak, and one of them is stone, sand, and gravel. You would normally see a little bit of an uptick this time of year. We're not seeing it. We're seeing maybe a little bit of flattening, but we're still well below last year, well below the five-year average level. As we've talked about in prior podcasts, This is a commodity sector that we're not going to see, don't have a whole lot of hope for as we go through 2021, just because of the many different headwinds that it is facing. There's potential for an infrastructure bill, but some of that freight is not going to start flowing until later 2021 into 2022. It's not going to be something you're going to see in the next 6 months. And so we expect this commodity sector to continue to be challenged. Lumber and wood is settling into a bit of a seasonal pattern, but settling into it above its five-year average level, settling into a couple hundred carloads above where we would expect to be seasonally, still positive year over year. And with the tailwinds that lumber and wood has in the housing sector, we would expect that to continue for most of 2021, particularly with stimulus coming into the economy. That also helps people looking to get a down payment, looking to get things going on the housing sector. And so that will support this number as we go through the year. Unfortunately, it's not the same story elsewhere in the forest products sector when you think about pulp and paper. Pulp and paper normally sees a strong surge to start the year, and we have not seen it. We've seen a little bit of upward momentum, but not nearly what you would need to say it's in line with seasonal expectations. We're still down about 5% year over year. This sector really not showing life, really not responding the way we would have expected it to. With everybody shopping from home and all the cardboard boxes coming to your door, we would have expected to see additional demand in this sector, but we just haven't really seen it to this point. Automotive continues to be fairly in line with its five-year average. We see a little bit of daylight here in the latest week. Part of that, there are some unplanned shutdowns at some plants. It'll be interesting as we go through the next several weeks to see how long those shutdowns last. There was a Wall Street Journal article that I know some of you probably saw about semiconductor issues, supply issues at some of these plants. We will have to see what that does in the short run for automotive volumes. If production plants are forced to shut down for extended periods, we would expect to see that flow through this number in the next several weeks. We'll just have to see exactly what the magnitude is as we go through the next month in the automotive sector. But for now, we are still fairly close to our five-year average. We're still positive year over year. It hasn't had a meaningful impact yet on automotive volumes moving by rail. So, to wrap it up, intermodal volumes are showing some strength because of containers and are expected to continue to show that strength as we go forward in time. The intermodal space is not expected to get a Lunar New Year break this year, so whether you're a railroad, whether you're a port, you're going to continue to see strong momentum, strong demand for your services, really through the first half of the year at least. Potential to extend that with the stimulus that's out there on the table now out of Washington. And on the carload volumes, it really depends what sector you're in. We've bounced back to our pre-holiday levels, but the jury is still out on whether that's going to translate to growth. It really is a sector-by-sector discussion as to whether you're going to see growth in carload volumes or whether you're going to be flat or be lower, and it'll just take time, depending on where you are, to see the effects of the stimulus, to see the effects of economic activity as we go forward in time. And with that, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you for taking time out of your busy week to join us. I am Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team at any point if you want to chat about the markets, chat about what you're seeing in our reports, what you're seeing in the podcast. Always happy to chat about those things. Feel free to reach out anytime. Thank you for listening, and have a great week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.